You're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper.
And I'm Pooh.
Folks, this little four-year-old girl here surprised me yesterday as we were driving home from Los Angeles. I was watching the road, and Annie was sort of half falling asleep. From the back seat, we heard something wonderful. It made my heart beat fast, and I was thrilled beyond explanation. And Pooh asked me if she could demonstrate what it was that I heard from the back seat of our Bronco tonight. So without further ado,
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Folks, I don't know where she learned that, but I am so thrilled and so pleased and so proud of my daughter, Pooh. Don't go away. We've got a lot of things to talk about tonight. Pooh, thank you so much for sharing that with us. Thursday morning, I went to the municipal court in Phoenix, Arizona for my arraignment. I had everything all prepared, exactly what I was going to do and what I was going to say. As I approached the bench, before I could open my mouth, the judge said exactly this, and I quote verbatim, "It appears that you have irritated someone." I have two counts of disturbing the peace. I said, Your Honor, we were attacked in our hotel room. My daughter, myself, and my wife were gassed in our hotel room by the police. He said, I'm pleading you not guilty. Go over to that desk, and he pointed to a desk, and pick up your pretrial date. Now, folks, in light of what transpired there, I chose to shut my mouth and keep it shut. There was no court recorder there. Everything was recorded on tape. So this is all on tape. The judge violated every rule and every right and all of the laws in this process. He is supposed to, once again, read me my rights, which was never done in the beginning, even when I was arrested. He is supposed to then read the charges, and he must read them exactly as they are stated in the law. Then he is supposed to ask me if I understand the charges. If I say yes, he can proceed. If I say no, he cannot proceed until, by some arrangement, he guarantees that I understand the charges and I acknowledge that I understand the charges. None of this was done. He is then supposed to explain to me the different pleas that I could enter. That was not done. He is then supposed to ask me how I plea and wait for me to enter a plea. None of this transpired. So I have another date to appear in Phoenix on the 21st of September for a pre-trial conference, I guess. I'm supposed to meet with the prosecutor, and they're supposed to decide whether they're going to continue and press charges, or they might offer me a deal or anything like that. It doesn't matter what they do in the arraignment. The whole thing was legally thrown out the window by the judge, by his actions. But we'll see, because they don't seem to be paying any attention to the law, either state or federal or constitutional. Of course, they don't have to pay any attention to federal law in a municipal court. But that makes three times that the charges were changed. When I was arrested, I was told that I assaulted a police officer. When the argument occurred in the restaurant, there was no police officer present. There was a witness there, by the way, Gene Miller, when I was told that I was being arrested for assaulting a police officer. The next morning when I was released, I was not given any court date or anything. If I had not made the effort through Linda Thompson to find out, I wouldn't even have known when I was supposed to be there or when they wanted me there. Being as I'm a sovereign citizen, I'm not supposed to be at their beck and call. And so it all transpired. On this piece of paper, when I was released from the jail the morning of the 18th, it said that I was charged with assault, a misdemeanor, so it could not have been assaulting a police officer, as that would have been a felony, and disorderly conduct. Assault and disorderly conduct, two misdemeanors. When I got into court, the judge said it was two counts of disturbing the peace. So I still, as of yet, don't know what I'm charged with. And apparently, neither does anyone in Phoenix, Arizona, in the police department, or in the courts, or in the jail, for that matter. Nobody really knows what I'm charged with, because every time somebody gives me a piece of paper or opens their mouth, I'm being charged with something entirely different. We had a great time in Los Angeles, saw a lot of old friends that we had not had an opportunity to see for some time. And I want to thank everyone for their hospitality and their good cheer and camaraderie and the wonderful food that we had while we were there. And I'm sure Annie and Pooh would say the same thing. Did you have a good time in Los Angeles, Pooh?
Yes.
Did you see all your friends? Got to talk, honey. This is radio.
Yes, I did.
Wonderful. So Pooh is co-hosting, by the way, tonight. And if we open the phones, if you want to talk to her, she'll be right here to talk to you also. She used to do this with me all the time. And then she got a little bored with it and decided she wasn't going to do it for a while. And then today, she said that she wanted to do it again. I don't know how long it'll last, but she's here tonight. And I'm pleased, and I hope you are too, to have her as our co-host. In Los Angeles, I was not surprised. When I go into an area, I listen to the radio talk shows to find out what the mood of the citizenry is. For whatever they're discussing on talk radio reflects what people are thinking about in the community, anywhere you go. And even if they don't want to talk about what the people are thinking about, somebody will always break in and bring up the subject that's taboo, and they will always try to get a little bit gruff and pop them off the air or something. Never happened in L.A. Uh-uh. Some guy kept telling you to call area code blank, 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 Tom. Tom Likas is his name. And not only in Los Angeles area, but all over the country. His big topic for the weekend was his 20th high school reunion. And if I remember correctly, he had ignored the invitation to the high school reunion, which was sent out a year previous to its occurrence, because he didn't want to go. He didn't like high school. He didn't like anybody in high school. He didn't want to be reminded of it, and he didn't want to go to a high school reunion because all that was there was a bunch of fat cheerleaders and alcoholic jocks. Well, when I heard that, I knew that Tom didn't like high school because in high school, he was the twerp nerd on the block, and nobody liked him. The only explanation, folks. And everybody who called in was the same way. They didn't like it because nobody paid attention to them, or they were a new person, and they couldn't get in the clicks. This all smacks of maladjusted social skills and an immature personality. In other words, their friends were dealing on the level of the age that they were at. And these little children were still back 6 or 7 years, unable to deal with reality or social situations or, you know the kind. We all knew them everywhere. Well, anyway, apparently Tom's mother had called the people who organized this high school reunion and told them that Tom was sorry he couldn't make it. He really wanted to be there, but he's a big radio talk show host now, and he just couldn't break away. And Tom was telling us how angry he was and how he had rebuked his mother for daring to work some public relations in his behalf because he didn't like those people. He didn't give a damn about those people. And he didn't want to be with these people, didn't want to see these people, didn't like high school, didn't want to hear it, wasn't going to go. And he whined and whined and whined for hours on talk radio about this and asked people to call in. And the big subject was, should he have told his mother that or should he have just kept his mouth shut? And so it went on talk radio in California and wherever Tom Likas was on talk radio across the country. Now, I know Tom Likas. I've appeared on his show many times when he was with KFI in Los Angeles. And I have to say he always treated me fairly. And he was radically left socialist. Way out, anyway. But and folks, if you could ever see him, you can understand why he has this attitude and why he's talking about the things that he talks about. But people can't help how they're born, so I've never held that against him, and neither should you. But he's a whiner, and he constantly whines on radio. And that's all I heard on talk radio around the Los Angeles area, were all these talk show hosts whining and talking about the most insignificant things. For instance, one guy was talking about he lived in an apartment, and this woman moved in below him in another apartment in this house. Exactly a house where they had made two apartments in part of the house. And he was talking about she smoked, and somehow the smoke was coming up through the floor, and he could smell this smoke, and he wanted to pass a law that people could not smoke below another apartment because the smoke would creep through the floor, and he was getting secondhand smoke, and so might die an early death. And he went on for hours about this. Now, here we are, ladies and gentlemen, losing our rights, losing the protection for those rights. America is quickly becoming a socialist, totalitarian police state. Our military forces are acting as the police force to the world, invading other nations without their permission. Something that if some other country did to us, we would come up in arms and scream and yell and protest and probably draw our weapons out of our closets and meet them on the beach. And all the socialists would be happy that we have weapons then. But no, it's okay as long as we're invading some other country and we're getting ready to invade the little country of Haiti, which nobody gives a damn about, nobody cares about, unless they're from Haiti and have relatives there. There's nothing in Haiti that affects our national security or that could possibly damage this nation in any way, shape, or form. We're complaining about the military generals who are in power in Haiti. And we don't hear about death squads or necklacing in Haiti under this military government. We're not too far away. One of the most oppressive inhuman dictators in history exists in a nation called Cuba. Nobody's saying anything about that because he's socialist. You see, these military generals ruling Haiti right now believe in capitalism. They believe in less government, not more. They're not oppressing the people. In fact, things are pretty stable in Haiti under these people. The people who are leaving Haiti are not leaving for political reasons. They're leaving because they're poor, can't make a living, and they want to come to the land of plenty where they'll get on social welfare immediately and be taken care of. That's the real reason most people come here from foreign countries. Most people, not all, but most. Now, if you don't believe that, you just follow some of these people around after they get here, and you'll find out exactly what they're up to, why they're here. You'll see that they don't contribute much at all. Now, we have the same kind of people here in the United States. While I was in Los Angeles, I was berated for my political position on socialism. Because there are, and I quote these people in Los Angeles, millions of people in the streets homeless. They can't get a job. Can't get a job. I merely pointed out to them that these poor, destitute people who have nothing, don't have any education, don't have any skills, don't know anything, are leaving Mexico by the hundreds of thousands and crossing into this country, and every single one of them has a job within a week of the time that they arrive here. And these twits are telling me that we have millions of homeless in the streets. They can't find a job. Well, the truth is, folks, is they've discovered that they don't have to find a job. Somebody will take care of them. Many of them like the free life of living in the streets. You see, I've been down there and I've talked to them. Most of them wouldn't go sleep in a free bed if you gave it to them because they don't want it. They need a meal, they go to the mission. They need clothes, they go to Goodwill, or they go to the mission, or they go to one of the many other places where they can pick up clothes, where they can pick up a meal. They stand on the street corner and stick out their hand, and sooner or later they got enough to go buy a jug of wine or a good meal or whatever it is that they want, to tell you the truth. And in my jaunts through the streets of Los Angeles County and Orange County, I met some people dressed like bums who didn't look like they had ever missed a meal in their life, and I got to know them and talking to them, and once they found out that I wasn't going to publish a newspaper story or turning into the police or anything, a couple of them took me to their homes, $200,000 homes. Some of these people make an excess of $65,000, $75,000, $85,000 a year, panhandling on the street. So Los Angeles really hasn't changed, and the socialists haven't changed, and the stupid people haven't changed, and the, I call it the La La Land. When I go to California, I'm going to La La Land, the People's Republic. Now, there are some informed and intelligent people in California. When I gave my talk on Saturday, it was to a room. I don't know how many people were in this room, but the room was packed wall to wall, and there were people standing. I gave a talk that frosted them, shocked them, destroyed their ride around and round in Mr. Toad's automobile in fantasy land. Woke some of them up. My workshops were the largest workshops during the convention. Whites, blacks, Orientals, Jews, all different people attended my workshops, all concerned about our freedoms, about the Bill of Rights, about this nation, all trying to learn enough so that they could go back to their neighborhoods and wake up their neighbors and their friends. Some of the black people in that audience were more in tune and awake and understood more about what was going on than a lot of the others. It was interesting. Extremely interesting to see a mixed audience like that all getting along, putting aside their common differences that really aren't differences worth even getting into any kind of hassle about anyway. With a common concern, the loss of our freedoms, the loss of our country, the loss of constitutional government, protection of the sovereignty of the citizens and the creator endowed rights which our founders left for us, their posterity. And we addressed all the different questions, folks. Were you aware that in Oklahoma City, the Oklahoma City newspapers are notifying local residents that they're going to hire a whole bunch of people through a local job fair? They're going to be recruiting a lot of people for the Federal Transfer Center. It's nearing completion. We've been following it since they broke ground to build it. The Federal Transfer Center, folks, will have a capacity of some 1,400 prisoners with a 10-day turnover, meaning that as people are brought in, they will be processed and assigned a particular detention area, and this processing period will be about 10 days. The article makes a point of plans to keep the facility running at capacity. Also note that the Oklahoma City facility is not the only such facility. There are others. There are others. It has an underground tunnel leading from an airport facility run by the National Guard to the Federal Transfer Center. The Transfer Center is being built to house terrorists. Who will be the terrorists, and why have they spent $1 million to build this facility and others? Folks, the terrorists will be you and I, patriots, people who have formed militia units in defense of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. Don't believe it? Go to Oklahoma City and check it out for yourself. It is the tightest, most secure, maximum security facility that I have ever seen in my life. The trying time is not far off. In Soldier of Fortune, October 94, they published a notice to all politicians. It repeats the theme, we will not disarm, we will not disarm, we will not disarm, we will not disarm. Will we be deceived by shameless liars who say that disarmament equals safety, helplessness equals strength, patriotism equals criminality? Or will we mark the words of our forefathers who wrote in plain language, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed? Let us make known we will choose the latter option in every case. Legislators, do your duty to your country. Uphold the Constitution as you swore to do. Do not shame yourselves by knocking loose the mighty keystone of this great republic, the right to bear arms. Justices, do your duty to your country. Examine the origins of our right to weaponry and uphold your letter and spirit of the Constitution. Lawmen, if there are really any true lawmen left in this nation, and don't call me and tell me that you're a police officer, or you're a member of the state police, or the Department of Public Safety, or a municipal police officer, and you're on our side. If you are on our side, the things that are happening across this country would not be happening. And you probably would not be a police officer. You would have been fired. Lawmen, if there are any left, do your duty to your country. Do not be misguided and misused. Do not be misguided and misused. Your task is not to follow orders blindly, not to obey the orders of your police sergeant or your lieutenant, but to carry out your oath, to protect and to serve, to uphold and defend the Constitution of your state and the Constitution of the United States of America. Your task is to serve and protect, not to oppress, to disarm, and to make helpless your countrymen, to gas 4-year-old girls in hotel rooms because her father had an argument in a restaurant, to the blind, the ignorant, the apathetic, the safe and sheltered. These may seem to be concerns of another age. They are not. They are as vital as they ever have been through history. For times may change, but human nature does not. And it is to protect forever against the evil in human nature that the Founding Fathers set aside certain rights as inviolable. For these reasons, we must now make known, we will not passively take the path that leads to tyranny. We will not go down that road. We will not disarm. If we do not disarm and you attempt to force us to disarm, there will be war in this country. And if there is war and we prevail, you will be arrested. You will be tried by a jury of your peers under the Constitution, under the correct procedure in the law. If found guilty, you will pay with your life. You will hang by the neck until you are dead. I have in my hand a patch of the United States Police Emergency, Federal Emergency Management Agency. United States Police, Federal Emergency Management Agency. This is the patch that is on the black uniforms that were here in St. John's. And they have appeared in other places across the country. This is the patch that will be on the black uniforms of your local police officers and sheriff's deputies when they are federalized and made a part of the United States Police, the Gestapo of America. In a circle in the center, it has the eagle rampant, spread wings, spread legs. Above the eagle's head is a circle with a pyramid in it, of course. If you've been listening to this program, how could you possibly expect anything else to be there? Now, I've got to read you a couple of things that are illuminating, to say the least. The Pentagon, General News, Associated Press, under the topic of UFO debunking, today, 6:25 p.m., sent in by somebody at a radio station. Pentagon, the Air Force is hoping to shoot down lingering claims about a supposed alien spacecraft incident. Folks, this is an aside. That's what they say that they're doing, but if you listen very carefully, you'll see that they're just opening more doubt, and this will make people believe that they're hiding things even more. It will make people believe in this incident even more. Listen very carefully. The Air Force is hoping to shoot down lingering claims about a supposed alien spacecraft incident. The service has issued a report on what's become known as the Roswell incident. It's about debris found near Roswell, New Mexico in the 1940s that was later claimed by some to have come from a so-called unidentified flying object or a UFO. But the Air Force is now hoping its report will put those claims to rest. Major Dave Thurston says the report is exhaustive, includes more than 2,500 pages of documents. Now listen closely, folks. The report concludes that the debris was in fact a secret Army Air Force weather balloon designed to monitor Soviet nuclear testing. Information about that now has been declassified. Now, if you'll go to your books and find the date of the first Soviet atomic test, all will be made clear to you. And once again, the United States government, while pretending to debunk UFOs, is actually promoting more cries of cover-up, conspiracy, extraterrestrials are real, or you wouldn't be doing this. You watch and see. Listen to the loony fringe of UFO magazine, Vicky Cooper and Don Eckert. From New York, the Federal Reserve Board. From New York, ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully to this. From New York, the Federal Reserve Board reports the nation's money supply rose by $100 million during the week that ended August 29th. What's important about that? Well, I'll tell you right after this break. Just remember that the Federal Reserve Board reports the nation's money supply rose by $100 million during the week that ended August 29th. Don't go away. I'll be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, the hour of the time is brought to you by Swiss America Trading. Swiss America Trading. You know, when I went to Phoenix on Thursday, someone met me at the courthouse and accompanied me inside for the arraignment. Someone who didn't have to be there, took time off from a heavy, heavy business schedule, kept a very expensive CPA waiting. The man's name was Craig Smith, the owner of Swiss America Trading. A man who every single time I speak to him or meet him or see him, I am more and more impressed. A
with this man's loyalty and his friendship, with his concern about ethical and moral values in this country, with his concern about the freedoms that we're all losing, with the fact that he has backed this broadcast through thick or thin, no matter what. You can't buy that kind of loyalty. You can't buy that kind of a man. You can't buy that kind of a business. And he holds tight rein over those who work for him. I don't mean that he spies upon them or that he goes around cracking a whip, but he insists upon the highest ethical and moral standards in his firm. The same standards that he lives his life by, and the same standards that I fight on a nightly basis to promote throughout this country. He's concerned about preserving freedom, as I am, on this broadcast. And he's not some fair-weather advertiser who's here as long as the program is not controversial, or we're not making enemies or ruffling the feathers of someone. He's always there because he cares. He cares about his family. He cares about your family. He cares about this country. And he knows, as I know, that without God, there can be no creator-endowed rights. Without a Constitution and a Bill of Rights, there can be no protection of those rights. And without those rights, and without protection of those rights, there can be no family, there can be no income, there can be no good life, there can be no American dream. He knows it. And I know it. There's a nation of sheeple out there who don't even have the slightest idea, and there are people who listen to this broadcast every night, who hear it, understand it, and know it, and still don't act upon it. And I've repeatedly told you, as Craig will tell you himself if you call him at his office, that we don't insist or even honestly care if you do your business with Swiss America Trading, but we do care that you do your business with someone and you protect your family against the sure collapse that's coming. And it's coming, and it's coming a lot sooner than any of you have even dreamed in your wildest imagination. Call. Call if you don't like what you're hearing. Tell them what you want to hear. Tell them what you want to invest in. Tell them what kind of metal you want. Tell them what you can afford to pay. Talk to them. It's your money, and when it's your money, you're the boss. If you ask for advice, they'll give you advice. They'll tell you what they have. They'll tell you what they believe is the best deal right now. If you don't like them, you can tell them what you want. And if that's what you want and it's not good, they'll try to tell you why it's not good. But if you insist upon it, they'll give it to you because you're the customer and you have a right to do what you want with your money. And if you don't like any of that, ask to talk to Craig Smith personally and he'll sit down and talk to you and try to do what's best for you. Remember, folks, I don't attach my name to just anything. You all know it. All of you have been listening to this broadcast for a long period of time know it. Those of you who have just been listening for a short period of time, you probably don't know too much yet. But you will if you just keep listening. You see, I've given my personal word. I back our sponsor like they back me. With loyalty, with my personal word, my personal honor. If you ever believe for one single minute that you've been cheated or mistreated by Swiss America Trading, you call me and I'll call Craig, and between Craig and I, it will be made straight just as quick as you can blink your eyes. I guarantee it. If it's not, I've said on this broadcast time and time again, and I mean it, I'll drop Swiss America Trading, even if I have to pay for this broadcast out of my own pocket, and I'll keep this broadcast going as long as I can afford to. Because ethics and morals and freedom mean more to me than anything else, and it means more than Craig, so that's why I know it's never going to happen. It will never happen. If you're concerned about the economic security of your family, the financial security of you and those you love, look around. Look at their faces now. Look directly in their eyes. And if you can't assure them right now that you have taken the proper steps to protect them against an economic collapse in the near future, then you must call. Do it right now, 1-800-289-2646. If you're not happy with what you hear, call somebody else. But do something to protect yourselves. You see, we can't fight if you're in a ditch with nothing to eat and nothing to protect yourself with. When you think that I'm just saying this, you're mistaken. I need an army of Americans who are healthy. We all do, to survive. 1-800-289-2646. Do it right now. 1-800-289-2646. Great weight will be taken off your shoulders, and you'll be glad that you did. The rest of the story. New York. The Federal Reserve Board reports the nation's money supply rose by $100 million during the week that ended August 29th. That compares to an increase of $5.9 billion. That's billion with a B reported for the previous week. If you add those two together, in a two-week period ending August the 29th, the Fed flooded the economy with $6 billion, spelled B, as in bad, I-L-L-I-O-N, $6 billion. That's a huge increase in the M1. And that's just in that two-week period. Remember, I told you, I've warned you, rampant inflation is directly in front of our nose. And it won't be long until you begin to see it and feel the effect. And the Fed has been telling you it's going to happen for months now as they've raised the prime over and over and over again, just exactly as I predicted and exactly within the time frames that I predicted. And they have used as an excuse that it's to hold back rampant inflation. Inflation is caused by putting more money into circulation than the gross national product for any given year. You had better prepare yourselves, ladies and gentlemen, or you're in for a big, big fall. And I'm afraid I won't be able to catch you. That's how far down this fall is going to be. One of the things you can do to help, one of the last efforts at legal and bloodless solution to our problem, is to join the Constitution Party. Constitution Party. And you need to start calling your local talk radio stations while they're on the air and tell them about the Constitution Party. And tell them they need to contact somebody at the Constitution Party and get them on the air and talk about it. Because it's going to change history. It's going to change this country. The Constitution Party. Post Office Box 3305. That's P.O. Box 3305. Beverly Hills, California. 90212. That's the Constitution Party, Post Office Box 3305, Beverly Hills, California, 90212. Telephone 1-800-932-9888. 1-800-932-9888. Once again, telephone 1-800-932-9888. Write it down. If you want to send a fax, it's area code 310-310-247-0568. That's area code 310-247-0568. That is just a partial list, folks, of the founding members of the Constitution Party. Me, yours truly, William Cooper. You all know who I am. Robert Atkins, the famous doctor of alternative medicine and author of many books. Robert Atkins. Frank Barcelona represents Bruce Springsteen and the group known as U2. Larry Becraft. He's the attorney who's beaten the IRS in tax cases, and he worked with Benson on the books entitled The Law That Never Was. Bob Bishop, a newsletter writer. Jim Blanchard helped legalize gold, and he's a very famous newsletter writer in the financial sector. Doug Casey is an author of the biggest-selling financial book in history. Larry Dodge of the Fully Informed Jury Association. Ron Paul, he was a congressman, and he ran for president on the Libertarian Party ticket. Bob Prechter, famous author of the quote, Elliott Wave Theory, end quote. My friend Aaron Russo, he produced Trading Places. Very, very good movie with Eddie Murphy. He also produced The Rose with Bette Midler, won an Emmy, a Tony, and had films nominated for various Academy Awards. Also my good friend Linda Thompson, no explanation necessary. For those of you who listen to Shortwave, you know who she is. James Turk, author and newsletter writer. Jonathan Wright, very famous doctor who ran a wonderful clinic up in Washington, was raided by the criminal FDA, who destroyed his practice, confiscated all of his equipment, patient files, everything. Roger Friedenberg, radio talk show host, and there are others. The Constitution Party, folks. We, the founders of the Constitution Party, hold that our federal government has consistently violated the Constitution of the United States. The Founding Fathers designed the United States government to serve us, the people. It was not designed so that we, the people, would serve government and become we, the sheeple. We no longer wish to see Americans dependent upon or enslaved by government. Generations of Republican and Democratic administrations have made it abundantly clear that they are incapable of managing the nation's affairs competently, justly, or legally. The Constitution Party, ladies and gentlemen, is dedicated to ensuring the unalienable right of every United States citizen to life, liberty, property, and the pursuit of happiness by limiting the role of government in our lives. And when we say every United States citizen, we mean exactly that. And all of these blithering idiots who tell you that they are the superior race, or the supreme religion, or only they have the mature minds and are capable of governing, we denounce. We believe that they're probably criminally insane. In any event, they're dividing us, the people, and enabling those who would enslave us to put the shackles around our ankles while we're busy fighting each other. Oh, yes. The Constitution Party holds that no one has the right to dictate to anyone else how to live. It further believes that no one holds the higher moral authority to compel anyone else to behave in a particular way. Constitution Party maintains that each individual has the right to behave according to his or her self-determined moral principles, provided the pursuit of these principles causes no physical harm to any other person or his or her property. Exactly as the Founding Fathers set this government into place. The Constitution Party believes that if there is no victim, there is no crime. That is exactly the legal system that was begun in this country, known as the common law. It is why, in the United States Constitution, it provides only for criminal offenses. There is no such thing as a civil offense. In other words, you cannot be dragged into court because you hurt someone's feelings. The Constitution Party believes that no entity, including a majority of voters or citizens, may take away or violate the rights of an individual as they are protected by the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. Accordingly, we call for a reordering of national priorities. We aim to restore the rights of individual Americans. We aim to create a truly free country, where people will learn to be responsible for their own welfare and their own actions. Upon achieving this goal, productivity will flower, causing business to prosper, thereby creating an atmosphere of abundance, tolerance, and something we sorely need, compassion. Therefore, the Constitution Party has written a platform to ensure our rights and those of our children. Those of you who say this is absolute nonsense, that the Founding Fathers were wrong, that those who claim that they're sovereign and don't need a driver's license are threatening the safety and security of everyone else, you're full of it, right up to your eyebrows. And I can prove it very simply. Go down and look at the statistics. Almost every violation committed by automobile drivers is committed by drivers who have licenses. For those of you who say licensing is necessary to make sure that people know and follow the law and that they don't have accidents, you're full of it up to your eyebrows. Almost every violation is committed by a licensed driver. Almost every accident is caused by a licensed driver. It is the inability of the community, the county, the state, to hold people responsible for their actions that makes others say, oh, it's okay if I go out and do this. Nobody's looking. I'll just run this stop sign. You see, it doesn't make any difference whether you're licensed or not. It doesn't make any difference whether you own a gun or not. If you want to kill somebody, you're going to kill them. All those who say that guns are responsible for crimes, I have never yet seen a gun arrested as the perpetrator of a crime. It's always a human being. Always. In every single case, and if you really believe that guns cause crime, why aren't you arresting the guns? Well, we all know the answer to that, don't we? Don't we? I want you, ladies and gentlemen, to call the Constitution Party. I want you to join. Telephone 1-800-932-9888. That's 1-800-932-9888. All right, the Constitution Party, Post Office Box 3305, Beverly Hills, California, 90212. I want you to call every talk show host in your area while they're on the air. Talk to them about the Constitution Party. Give them the phone number. Give them the address. Tell them we're going to turn this country around. We are the last hope. The Libertarian Party has failed a long time ago. They've had 20 years to succeed, and they have not succeeded. They will not succeed. We will. The Republican Party and the Democratic Party are both one and the same. It doesn't matter which one is in power. We still lose our rights and creep toward one world totalitarian socialist government. While you're at it, I want you to write letters to Larry King Live and Rush Limbaugh. Write letters to Larry King Live and Rush Limbaugh. I'm going to give you the address of Larry King Live right now. Write letters. Tell them about the Constitution Party. Tell them you want to hear about the Constitution Party. Give them the address and the phone number. Tell them you're an American. You want to see this country turned around. You don't want to live under totalitarian world socialism. Larry King Live, 820 First Street, Northeast. That's N-E, means Northeast. Larry King Live, 820 First Street, N-E, that's Northeast, Washington, D.C., District of Criminals, 20002. That's 20002. Once again, Larry King Live, 820 First Street, Northeast, Washington, D.C., 20002. That's 20002. The address for Rush Limbaugh. Rush Limbaugh. 2. Pen, spelled P as in Paul. E-N-N. 2. Penn Plaza. 17th floor. That's Rush Limbaugh. 2. Penn Plaza. 17th floor. Yep, you guessed it. New York, New York. 10021. That's 10021. Once again, write to Larry King Live and Rush Limbaugh. Rush's address again is 2 Penn Plaza, 17th floor, New York, New York, 10021. Don't sit down and not write because you say they'll never listen to you. If enough people write, they'll listen. Their jobs depend upon ratings. If enough people demand it, they'll do it. You see, because they're not like me. They care how many people are listening. They care what the people want to hear because that's how they make their money, and don't you ever forget it. Do it now. Make sure you're listening tomorrow night, folks. We'll have a call-in show. And if I can talk Pooh into doing it, or she wants to do it, we'll have her lead us off with the Pledge of Allegiance once again. Does something for my soul to hear a four-year-old recite the Pledge of Allegiance, the flag of the United States of America. Good night, folks, and God bless you all. Yeah.